now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah! See, a United States astro robot becomes a creature of death. Oh.
And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
He who breaks the law shall be punished. Back to the House of Pain.
Back to the House of Pain.
And welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-movie podcast from classic cults on the cheese in between. The movies are beep, the entertainment is grade A, and I'm your host, Jason Giaconetti. And this time out, I have feedback. I actually have some mail to read, and we're going to discuss a topic today that, we're not discussing a movie in particular, just kind of like maybe a concept and idea. But let me do the mail first. I want to make sure I get this out of the way, because I don't get a ton of mail, which is, I do enjoy when I get mail, but I want to make sure I touch on this. And this is from Mr. Jack Bond. Jack says, sorry, I haven't written for a while. I've been out of it. In fact, I was a year ago today years old when I heard Universal had made a new Wolfman film. Sorry, I was just trying to, reading it. Sorry, Jack, I messed that up. And I still haven't checked it out in any way to see it. I attribute that to the sales job you did for it. I agree with you when you say that transformations don't have to be The Howling or An American Werewolf in London, but it's when you say the story isn't the old werewolf Wolfman that I'm turned off it. I'm turned off on it, off of it. It's not that the Wolfman. Why call it Wolfman? Oh, it's not the Wolfman. Why call it the Wolfman? Okay, good point. Let's stop right there. That's a good point, Jack. Yeah. Obviously, Universal owns the rights to the name, so that's why they call it the Wolfman. They're trying to play off of the idea of the legacy that exists there. But at the end of the day, when you're going to remake the Wolfman, and as we're currently seeing the Mummy, Lee Cronin or whatever is Mummy coming out, but I've always said that that Boris Karloff's the Mummy, the original Mummy, should have been called the Egyptian, instead of the Mummy. Whereas I think when I think of the Mummy, I always think of Karloff because, in the bandages, but that's such a small part of that movie. But I always think of Christopher Lee's as the Mummy in Hammer's The Mummy. But with the Wolfman is very much Lon Chaney Jr. In fact, Lon Chaney Jr. was the Wolfman, obviously in the sequels as well. But that's to me who the Wolfman's going to be. The Benicio del Toro movie, while I appreciate the makeup effects that were done there, especially Anthony Hopkins' makeup effects as his father, that movie kind of fell flat for me too. I thought that was much more in the same vein and felt like a actual Wolfman movie. But by the same token though, we're remaking one of the best werewolf movies ever, and definitely one of the best Wolfman movies, because there are movies that are about werewolves and movies about wolfmen, which are in fact different. If anyone's interested, The Werewolf, which is, it's the 50s. I forgot the year. I can't think of it off the top of my head. If you want to see a different take on the Wolfman, that's a great movie to check out. Svengoolie shows it every once in a while, but it is definitely interesting. Anyway, so as I said last time, if you're going to go wildly altering it from the original story, you should call it The Wolfman. You should call it Kurt Cetimax, The Wolfman. I agree. But The Wolfman is old news. On to Invaders from Mars. I think I liked it more than you. At least I wanted to like it more than you. Maybe a Blu-ray would help. Every time I see it on TV, I'm surprised to remember it's not a public domain copy. While you were talking about the dream story of it and the child focus, I realized that someday in my old age, I'll be confused with 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T. Have you seen it? I have seen that. That is a weird movie. I want to say we might have seen it as kids. I don't remember. I definitely saw it when it was on Svengoolie, because I remember saying to my dad, I don't think I've ever seen this all the way through. And I watched it going, OMG. It's the first attempt at filming the drawings of Dr. Seuss. And if you've never seen it, it 100% is. In live action using 1950s technology. Maybe you could write a thesis on Invaders from Mars as the midpoint between serious implications of the premise of Invaders and the Body Snatchers and all the weirdness executed of 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T. Jack. Now, the Invaders from Mars definitely borrows some of the ideas from Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I'm not saying it doesn't. And as anyone who's ever listened to this show more than like one or two episodes knows, I love the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I do enjoy pretty much every version of the Invasion of the Body Snatchers its own thing. But I enjoy the original probably the most. It's one of my all-time favorite movies. And putting aside all the Red Scare and all that stuff that goes along with it, just as a movie itself, it's just so well put together and kind of still holds up, even though, it's 70, almost 70 years old or whatever it is kind of thing, right? The invasion, Invaders from Mars, right, kind of thing, what you're getting there is, and we saw that kind of in the remake too, is that like there's stuff in there just like, wait, like it seems like a dream. Like it does at times seem like a dream. And then he wakes up and then it's all supposed to be a dream, or did it happen? It's movies like that. I think what they were trying to play with was trying to be, again, not trying to cookie cutter everything out, but still trying to be at the same time different, but still giving you what you wanted to see. It does feel that, though. I think what also makes it feel like a dream is the fact that the sets are so small, right? Like the some things are, done in front of buildings and whatever kind of thing, right? But like the set where you're looking and where they're running and like all this stuff, like it's all so small. You can feel how small it is. Yet they're trying to portray this as like, well, here's this big sand pit and there's enough room for a flying saucer under the ground. But it all looks small in the scale when you kind of start thinking about what's going on. They try to window dress it up. I'm not saying they don't do that. But it doesn't come off to me as this big, lavish piece. But I don't think it ever was supposed to be. I think the whole point is supposed to be kind of small in that it's claustrophobic. So it gives you a sense of dread. Could this happen? And again, what is every Invaders from Mars and Invasion of the Body Snatchers and, all these movies there, if you look deep enough, a lot of it is about, the fear of communism and, all the stuff that was going on in that time and stuff like that. And Dad speaks about that as well. When he talks about these movies, because he lived through that, he lived through duck and cover drills. He lived through those things that like somehow if the bomb hits that your desk is going to protect you. But that was the world that's, we lived in. And that world is very different than the world we live in now. It's so vastly different even from 6 years ago, the world we live in compared to the world now. And I think it'll be even more different. I have no way of knowing for sure, but I highly doubt we're ever going back, kind of thing. It just doesn't seem like it's going to be something that is ever going to wind up happening. What I can say, though, is that as you watch like the new Invaders from Mars from the 80s, I think they tried to step up. They stepped the effects up for sure. They were trying to, they used the best effects they could at the time. But I think what they also tried to do was make it much, because again, now we're fighting different wars at that point, right? We're not fighting communism and the Cold War and all the stuff like that. It means different things. But I think we also saw that though too. We saw that 100% with our action heroes at the time too. Our action heroes of the 80s are very different than our heroes, if you can call them action heroes, of the the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Like, there's just, everyone's different, right? The Arnold Schwarzeneggers and Sylvester Stallones and Chuck Norris's of the world, you know, with two guns blazing, shirt off kind of thing. That's not the heroes we had, you know, our heroes from the 70s and stuff like that. And that's not the people we had in the 60s either. And each decade, and again, not a full decade, because things blend in, right? You start seeing that transformation. We saw that happen very much at the end of the 80s when Bruce Willis all of a sudden becomes an action star. Bruce Willis, the guy from Moonlighting, is going to be in an action movie. And let's be honest, Die Hard turned out to be a huge action movie. And it was, you know, it's like things like that, like, or like a guy like, and again, nothing against Keanu Reeves, but Keanu Reeves ain't exactly the biggest dude in the world. But then he's John Wick now, but remember, he was the guy in the bus with Sandra Bullock in Speed, right? He's also, you know, I mean, like, you had this changeover in what happens, and we constantly see that. I think we see that here too. I think what they were trying to do with Invasion of Body Snatchers, with Invaders from Mars, was, yes, we got to have the alien or the Martians and the whatever, but we also want to make sure we play to a kid, you know, kind of kid being in it, and he's a hero and he sees what's going on. But we saw that still play true. How many times do you have movies where kids are like, hey, this is what's happening, and the adults won't listen? I mean, literally, isn't that the whole story of The Blob? Like, I know they're not kids, they're teenagers, but the adults won't listen until it comes up and bites them on the butt, you know, kind of thing. So I think it definitely ties into its time. I don't want people to think I did not. Invaders from Mars is not my favorite, you know, kind of alien Martian kind of movie, but I still truly love what it does. I think it's very important. But I do agree with you that a cleaned up version shows the edges, the public domain, quote unquote, an idea of it, like being kind of like, oh, it's out there and whatever, I think might hide some of it, right? I think of it this way. I watched, when I got my the 4K television, the 4K player, one of the first things that, well, the first movie, I think the first movie I bought was Fury Road, because you need to watch Fury Road in 4K, because that's what it's meant for. But I watched Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and you're saying, but Jay, how, that can't be that crisp. The blacks are darker, the whites are whiter, everything's sharp. And the same way that you went from VHS to DVD, you're like, wow, look how much better this looks. And DVD to Blu-ray, and don't get me wrong, the Blu-ray of Invasion of the Body Snatchers is beautiful. But I put that on, and it, like, because that movie, it doesn't have all of the, I don't know how to say this, like, because the sets aren't, they're not really sets, they're just, you know, streets and stuff like that. There's nothing to feel like you're claustrophobic. It doesn't, you don't see the edges, so to speak. But yeah, thank you, Jack, for writing in. I truly appreciate anybody, you know, sending feedback. You know, it's nice to know that anyone's even listening to me just rambling here by myself, because I feel like sometimes I'm just talking into the ether and ain't nobody here listening. So anyway, I promise you a topic today that we had not talked about before, and it's not going to be a movie. And you're thinking, oh, it's going to be a book. No. There will be stuff about books coming up. I was actually speaking with John LeMay recently in his new book that is in the process of coming out. By the time you hear this, it'll be out, which hopefully we can, John and I can spend some time and maybe get on together and do this again to hype up his new book. But one of the things that came up, and this is going to sound weird because, you know, we talk about movies and stuff here. But the other night, where my daughter will throw on, like, she has certain TV shows that they watch, right, kind of thing. Like, my wife and my daughter watch The Rookie. I do not watch The Rookie, but I think I've seen every episode of it, because just from secondhand seeing it with them. And I don't really care for the show, but it's no big deal. I'm not sitting down and watching it. But a TV show like Modern Family, which is a comedy, which I find now very, very funny, I didn't watch at the time. And now I watched it. Haley and I actually watched it through one summer. We watched the entire series all the way through. And I think now we've probably watched it all the way through in order, not like me sitting with her and her every episode. We've watched it kind of in order, in and out together. Cause she'll throw it on and I'll wind up catching episode two with her. We probably watched it all the way through 2 to 3 times, and we catch episodes here and there. And that's a show that, it doesn't matter the episode it's on. Most of the time I can catch an episode and I just, like, I get hooked, and it's just funny. Maybe it's because, you know, it's talking about, you know, parents and kids and all that stuff whatever it might be. But the counter to that would be a show like Big Bang Theory that I literally watched every single week it was on. It was appointment television for myself and my wife. And before Kelly and I got married, when she was just my fiance and whatever, we watched every single episode of that show when it aired. And I remember laughing sometimes so much during that show. And I know some of you hate it. It's okay. You're allowed to hate things. You don't have to like the things I like. We can be still cool. But now I can't watch it. And I don't know if that's because I know how everything turns out. Not that it's horrible or whatever. But I cannot go back and watch that show. I don't watch even clips of that show. Kelly will put it on because it's just comfort thing to have on the background. And I'll often say to her, I was like, are we really going to watch this? And she's like, what do you mean? You're doing math. You're doing whatever. And I'm like, I know, but can we put something else on so I don't listen to that? I don't really want to be part of this anymore. And this is somebody who has every single season of it, you know, on DVD, you know, or Blu-ray, whatever, DVDs back in the day, right? And I love that show. I thought it was so funny. I definitely get the Dexter's Laboratory aspect of it. Dexter's Laboratory, another show I love. Things like that. I just don't know why are there shows that I watch one time through, enjoy thoroughly, but never want to revisit. And why are there shows that I will revisit over and over and over again? And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you shouldn't go back and watch shows. Maybe you like them. And there are shows that I never watched as a kid or as a young adult or whatever that I later discovered and I really enjoyed. But why do we go back to certain things? What makes something that at the time was really funny and something that really, you know, we connected with and made it appointment television to go back and watch? To watch every week, excuse me, but now I don't want to go back and watch it. I don't want to see it again. And it's not that it's too sad or it's too whatever. It's not like it's MASH, where at some point it took a very big turn in how it's written, and the early episodes of MASH might be funny and the old, later ones might be really too serious and depressing. But I don't know. Like, I don't think I'd want to go back. Like, I watched Three's Company every single night it was on when it was on on Channel 5 when we were kids. I don't want to watch Three's Company again. A clip here and there, maybe. And that's a lot because of John Ritter. And I really, truly love John Ritter as a comedian. But I don't know if that show holds up. And I understand it's a very different time, but I wouldn't go back and watch that. Or like Facts of Life. I watch Facts of Life all the time. I don't know if I really want to go back and rewatch Facts of Life. Whereas like, I think I've seen Kolchak now there are not that many episodes of Kolchak. And as my dad said, they got very repetitive for a series that only ran so many episodes, but I've seen all of Kolchak. Kolchak's on, I'll watch it. I love Kolchak. And maybe that's because I just love the character of Kolchak, or maybe that's because I love Darren McGavin, which I do. I love Darren McGavin. He's so good. But why is that? You know, why does that happen? And am I the only one? Like, do you guys have that too? Do you guys have like a TV series that you absolutely loved and now you're like, I don't really want to watch that anymore? Or am I the weird duck? Because I understand I definitely am, you know, not everybody's cup of tea, and I get that. But like, am I different here on that? You know, I mean, obviously there are movies that I've watched that it's a movie. And it's, you know, it's every hour. It's like, and this is going to sound blasphemous, but like, Godfather Part 1, Godfather Part 2, Godfather Part 3 but 1 and 2, they are fantastic, spectacular movies. I'm not throwing The Godfather on to watch on a whim. Maybe if I caught it on TV and like, oh man, I haven't watched The Godfather in a while, I have to decide to go watch The Godfather, right? Or The Godfather Part 2. Or when they cut them both together and made that one big movie, like that's a lot of time, but you have to kind of decide to go watch that. But there are movies that I would say are not as cinematic and not as, you know, well-made as The Godfather 1 and 2. I'm just using them as an example, right? That are considered to be everyone as all-time classics that I might throw on much easier because got to go back to. You know, it seems weird, and I don't want to compare it to like a movie that's way below, but like, you know, a movie like Raging Bull. I don't think I've ever watched Raging Bull more than once. Like, I've seen Raging Bull, and it's a great piece of filmmaking, but am I going to watch that again? I don't know. You know, kind of thing. And it's not that I didn't enjoy it. It's not that it's not a great film, but it just doesn't hold something for me to kind of bring me back into watch. And it's not nothing taken away from the film. It's not like you saying to me, hey, you should watch Hereditary. No thanks. I already wasted those 2 hours of my life. I'm not watching that again, right? Because I detest that movie. I detest the director and how he puts things out there and all these cool things that he thinks he's doing in movies and he's really not. And that's not to take away from, I just forgot her first name. The mother in there, Toni Collette, right? She's really good in that movie. Gabriel Byrne isn't the parts he's in. He's good. Spoiler alert, when she's like sawing her own neck off, like, okay. But it's like that movie holds nothing for me. There's nothing for me to go back to. I don't enjoy that movie. I'm not going back to it. But The Godfather, Godfather Part Two, like some of those classics that are considered to be classics, right? I don't know if I'm going back and watching them again, right? Like a movie, like I said, we said Invasion of the Body Snatchers, which some people may never have watched more than once. I've seen that movie dozens of times. I love that film. It's a classic. There's no crazy special effects. There's not over the top stuff. I don't know. I mean, movies, I think, are kind of be more easy to like not here and there because you can't just pop a movie. It's a 2 hour movie, 2.5 hour movie. But like a TV show, a half hour episode of Big Bang Theory, if it's on, I mean, I won't like, you know, lose my mind if it's on in the house, but it's like, I'm not seeking that out. Why is that? I don't know. It's funny because like Haley and I rewatched the Goldbergs in order. We watched all the Goldbergs in order. And I love the Goldbergs. And that was a show my brother introduced me to later. I did not watch the first couple of seasons and we caught up. And I love the Goldbergs. But even the Goldbergs sometimes, I'm like, I don't know if I really want to watch that. And I think what kind of led me to this idea of this podcast was the new Malcolm in the Middle, Life is Still Unfair, the 4-episode thing came out on Hulu. And I'm watching this and I'm saying to myself going, okay, I loved Malcolm in the Middle. I watched Malcolm Middle every week. I watched every episode of that show. I have never once gone back and rewatched it, right? Not that I didn't like it, but I never went back and rewatched it. And I watched the 4 episodes here and they were fine. I think they definitely played up certain aspects of things and whatever. That's fine because it's also 2020, you know, it was shot in 2025 into 2026, yada, yada, right? But I'm not going back and watching Malcolm in the Middle. That didn't make me want to go back and watch it, right? I had to explain to Haley, who had never seen Malcolm in the Middle, who Stevie was, who, why is Brick this way? Not Brick, excuse me. Good Lord, that's the middle. Why, Dewey's this way? Why, what's happening kind of thing. But I'm not going back and watching that series again. And it's a series I enjoyed, right? I like those. I found them funny. And then I just mentioned Brick, but that's the middle. Another series I watched that my daughter has now discovered, and I gladly will sit down and watch that with her. But why are they different? How is that so different? I don't know. And that's why I wanted to bring that up here. I thought, instead of me spouting off about some new movie or some old movie or some movie that no one really cares about, maybe throw something out there that, hey, let's maybe spur on some discussion. I'd love to hear from you guys. Let me know. Is there something like that? Or is there a TV series, specifically TV? We can talk TV. We can talk movies anytime. But is there like a TV series that you're like, man, I loved that TV series when I was a kid. I really enjoyed it. And I saw every episode. And now you're like, I don't think I could sit through that again. It's funny because as we're recording this, there's news coming out that all of the Tales from the Crypt, I think, are coming to Shudder, all unedited. That's a series I never watched because we didn't get HBO till I was like in fourth grade or so, whatever. And it was kind of on late at night and I wasn't allowed to watch it. And I've seen some Tales from the Crypt, don't get me wrong, but it's not a show I'm like, oh, I have all these great memories of. So could I now watch it and maybe, and I have all the Tales from the Crypt seasons that they ever put out on DVD, but could it be something that I go and like really watch all of it and maybe I love it and I want to watch it again? Or is it going to be one of those things that I don't? And what makes that happen? I think Tales from the Crypt is a different world because you're talking horror and longer episodes. Same thing like Last of Us. I watched the first season. I didn't watch season 2 yet, which I really enjoyed The Last of Us, but am I going to watch it again? Well, those are longer episodes. It's a little different. Sitcoms, comedy, kind of thing. Half hour little bite-sized ones. And I just want everyone to understand, I'm not talking about a show like 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Daughter. When John Ritter passed away, I tried to keep watching that show, but it actually hurts me inside to watch it. And when I see clips from when John, I'm starting to cry right now. I'm literally starting to cry right now thinking about this. With John Ritter on it when he was alive, and I remember how much I loved that show, and I can still, they don't show it anymore, but anytime I'm like, oh, this is so good. I was here with my wife. I'm like, oh, remember this show? I remember Kitty, Kitty Coco, whatever her name is on there, you know, Penny from Big Bang and whatever. I was like, man, remember this? And I'm like, why? Then that's a show I watched. I loved it. And after he passed away, I kept trying to go back and it just hurt and I stopped. But like, it's not something like that. I'm not talking about a show that had some big change in it that changed it and whatever. And maybe you outgrow shows. Maybe that's what I'm getting at. Maybe, I don't know. But why is a show like The Middle and a show like Malcolm in the Middle, which are similar in theme, not the same, they're similar in some of their themes. Why is one something I can easily throw on and watch, and the other I would never in a million years think to put it back on? I don't know, guys. Maybe I'm just spouting off into the ether here again, on this afternoon, trying to, come up with something here. But just throwing it out there, I'd love to hear from you guys. I understand that, we usually were talking about B-movies and stuff like that, but I figured this was worth a shot with you guys. If it doesn't hit, you won't hear me spout about it anymore. But just trying to do something here. Ideally I'm talking about TV shows and things like that, something that's bite-sized and consumable. Because we can talk about like why the Godzilla movies from the 70s are some people's absolute favorites and why some people hate them. Lucas talked about that kind of stuff too. And like why the Friday the 13th movies, which literally some of my friends who are devoted horror fans hate with a passion, and some of us, like me, have not only the box set, not only every Blu-ray, every DVD are tattooed with Jason Voorhees on an arm, because those are the kind of thing. I get that. I understand how that can be different. That's polarizing. But why is something that I love so much now something I don't, and nothing changed? It's not like all of a sudden someone is on there, died or killed somebody or did something where you're going to get a bad taste in your mouth from the really real world stepping in. So anyway, love to hear from you guys. Thank you all, though, for tuning in to this episode. I'm sure if you're stuck with me this long, thank you for sticking with us and doing this. Hopefully, I haven't bored the heck out of you guys and you'll be like, and pass, kind of thing. So what's coming up? I don't know. I can tell you this, though. Obviously, I'm trying to I do try to go back and watch some older movies, too. I know sometimes some people like when I watch a newer movie, too, kind of new stuff. I know on The Vault, we had done Primate, which was a movie that if we weren't doing on The Vault, you're going to hear about it here. I can say this, if you have not seen Primate, we ruined the heck out of it on The Vault. We tell you everything about the thing, but I really enjoyed it. The guys enjoyed it. It is such an 80s feel to this movie, which is so good. I can recommend that as one. I am quite behind probably on my 2026 movies. We're still catching up on 2025. Five Nights at Freddy 2, Haley and I just watched the other day when Kelly was out while we had dinner. Things like that. It's kind of... you just don't have a lot of time. I have, Haley's super, those of you who actually know me, Haley's super busy with field hockey. I'm still working. I'm still teaching. Kelly's still teaching, kind of thing. So it's not like we have ample time to sit around and just watch some films. So, every once in a while, but I want to thank you all for your support. Thank you all for, the downloads and the listens. I always appreciate feedback. I know it's hard. I'm really bad about sending feedback to shows too. Not that I don't want to, it's just that, we got to find those time to do things anyway. And if you have other suggestions you'd like to hear, stuff you want to hear me talk about, shoot me an email, let me know. Again, I'll read all this stuff on the show. So, anyway, we're closing in. We're getting close to half an hour here, of just me jibber jabbering. So folks, once again, thank you for everything. Thank you for all your support, and your continued support going forward. So keep those cards and letters coming and keep watching those skies.
This is Tokyo. Once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yamgari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at twotruefreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at botsbugsbabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Jacknetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Jacknetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag Bots, Bugs, Babes Podcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter at Jason Jacknetti, and you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc. are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
Will you stop?